This feast, the feast of Christ, the King of the universe, has wrapped up in it this grandiose, triumphant sense, and it should. This is the celebration that Christ is the King of the universe. He is its beginning, he is its end, he's the point of everything, he is its Savior. And it's good for us to recognize that, it's good for us to praise God in that, it's good for us to recognize that Jesus is King. But what about those places? Those places in our hearts, in our little universes, where he is not king. So, yes, in one sense, all right, we're going to talk about sin. Where are the places where, because of my sinfulness, I am not allowing the Lord to be king? I hope that most of us have that awareness that this is a place where we need to continue to struggle to give the Lord the space that he deserves. But what about other places? What about the places where either we don't think often that Jesus is the King of, or those places where we're afraid to let him be King of? So what am I talking about? So how many of us this morning, and I didn't ask for the snow as an object lesson, but how many of us this morning got up unexpectedly and went, oh, great, here it is again. It's the snow. I got to dig out the jackets. I got to go out and shovel the driveway. I've got to do whatever. Nobody's going to know how to drive. How many of us went through that litany in that unexpected reality of the snowfall? And it doesn't have to be the snow, right? It could be hitting every single red light. It could be our coworker who just never quite seems to get the hint that it's time to just get to work and stop talking so much. It's all of these things that we just sort of see as unpleasant interruptions. And sometimes even we see as the stuff that we have the right to complain about, or that we have the right to be a reason that we take out our frustration on other people, that we have a reason, a right to walk around kind of wound up throughout the entire day. Jesus is king of those things too. In fact, our readings, the first reading and the gospel today, point out how Jesus comes to us, as Mother Teresa would say, in the distressing disguise of the poor. And this, of course, means the material poor that Jesus names, but also then in those places where maybe as his flock we don't feel like we're being well fed, or where we are feeling weak and uncared for. He's king of those places too. So how often when we look outside and we see that there's snow, or we hear that coworker coming down the hallway, or when we start to feel wound up because of some seemingly small thing going on in our little universe, do we stop and invite Christ to be king there? There is a principle that you'll find throughout the spiritual masters that the most fruitful penance is the one that we don't choose for ourselves. We can have grand ideas of the penances that we'll take on. We may say, hey, you know what, I know the church asks me to abstain from meat on Fridays or some other sacrifice, but what if I also did it on Wednesday and on Monday, and then I'm also going to make sure that I wear a hair shirt all the time, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But then we can't deal with somebody being a little bit slow getting going when the light turns green. The real penances are the ones that we don't choose, because they're the ones that go right to that part of our heart where we still kind of want to be the ones to order the universe. So as we come to the end of this liturgical year and get ready to start a new one, can we maybe just make the resolution to be a little more attentive to those moments that seem small but are actually enormous opportunities to say, no, Jesus is King even in this moment. If we do that, it will bear fruit, I promise. But then, to maybe bigger things, the places of disorder in the world that we don't get to choose and that we have very little ability to change. Those can be the moments that we look around and find ourselves just very deeply discouraged. Or it may be something within us that we feel powerless to change. We're doing all the right stuff. We're going to the sacraments. We're praying. We just can't seem to get over or change something within ourselves fast enough. This first reading is powerful because it comes at the end of a very long portion of Ezekiel where the Lord is challenging, upbraiding even, the bad shepherds, those who have failed to care for Israel the way that they were supposed to. And so what is his answer? I will come and shepherd you there. So instead of allowing Israel to become despondent, gosh, we've got a bad king. Gosh, our priests are corrupt. Where are the prophets? God is saying, you know what? I will come and take care of you. And so when we look around the world at those things that may be most likely to discourage us, or when we look at our own internal world at the things that most discourage us, we can hear a lie that whispers to us, it is our responsibility to fix it. And maybe then God will pay attention. It's my job to prepare God's kingdom so that he can return triumphant. It's my job to fix my sin so that then God will love me. That's not his answer. His answer is to identify himself with the poor, with the weak, to be attentive to those who have been abandoned or forgotten, those who have not been well cared for. That is where the king desires to reign. He is not a king that stands back looking down his nose. I'll look at the things that are going well. I'll care about those things, those people. In fact, Jesus reveals that it is the reverse. And it's always been the reverse. From the moment that Adam and Eve fell, God comes to them and provides clothes that will protect them rather than the silly things they make for themselves. He promises a Savior. He always works through the weak, through the hidden. Jesus' genealogy is full of not just great heroes of Israel, but great sinners. Jesus calls those who are unprepared for the mission, including those who are going to abandon him and betray him. It's precisely in those places that he desires to reveal his kingship. It's precisely those parts of the universe that he desires to bring under his loving rule. So as we see them in ourselves, in the world around us, it's not the time to run away and say, well, where were you? I didn't see you. But instead to be attentive, to act in faith, to remind ourselves of the good words of Ezekiel. The promise of Jesus to be found in those places and in those people where he seems to be hidden. Nowhere do we perhaps experience that more regularly than in the Eucharist, where he comes to us as what looks like bread and wine, and yet there he is. So as we receive him in faith in the Eucharist, may we ask him that it would be a foothold for his kingdom in a new way, to shed his light and his rule, his power, his love, into those corners of the universe, in our own hearts, in our own lives, where we've missed him or ignored him, and so allow his reign to be extended this day.